Better than this, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this shit.
What's better than this, guys? V and Dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network. We are your hosts here on this Wednesday edition of the show. It's top time for our October mock draft. Kyle, let's do this. Welcome.
This is going to get gnarly, Joe.
Well, especially because the Bengals have the first pick, and that throws off the entire balance of kind of what we think, right?
Right. But we're using the Draft Network's mock draft machine. It is the current draft order, the current state of affairs with the NFL standings right now, and therefore the Bengals pick first.
Yes, they do. And you have odds, I have evens is how we're doing this, right?
Are the Bills confirmed an even pick?
I don't know if they are or not, but we'll find out when we get there.
This is exciting. I can trade you if you need to.
Oh, well, thank you. The other note on this mock draft is the last one we did in September was done in advance. We're doing this on the fly. We don't know what's going to happen as of the way we're talking right now.
Which is why it's going to get super weird.
Yes, it will.
And our goal, I'm going to openly state our goal, is to do a 35-minute mock draft.
Okay.
All right. So that means each one of us has 60 seconds to sell their pick while also making a decision on their pick and explaining their pick.
So, we got this.
Dun-dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun-dun. Morally obligated to do it every time we do mock drafts here on Draft Dudes. The Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock with the number one overall selection, and the Cincinnati Bengals are going to draft quarterback Tua Tagovailoa from the University of Alabama with the number one overall pick in the October Draft Dudes mock. The boys are fired up. They're excited about this pick.
Yes, they are. I'm going to try to get them to be silent while you explain the pick.
Okay. All right. I don't think there was much explanation necessary there, but Tua quarterback, Cincinnati has kind of run Andy Dalton for all he's worth. You kind of know what his ceiling is. This is a team facing a transitionary period on offense with a new coach in Zach Taylor. Dalton hasn't necessarily played terrible unless you watch the Steelers game. And they need a lot of impact pieces along the offensive line. They've lost two starters, two young starters to health issues. They need to figure out the AJ Green situation as far as he's in a contract year. What do you want to do with him? The best thing you can do is hit the reset button, and I think Tua gives you the best chance to do so.
I'm sure Mike Brown is going to be really excited about releasing Andy Dalton for a clean sweep of $16 million. Just gone. Just right out the door. Don't have to pay him. All right, I got the Washington Redskins at number two. I know Redskins fans are all nervous about their offensive line, and they feel really good about their front seven, and they got Montez Sweat, and Ryan Kerrigan's still really good. But guess who's really good? Chase Young, the edge rusher from Ohio State. You can't pass him. You can't do it. I don't care about your needs at offensive line. Don't care about your needs at wide receiver, cornerback, whatever you think you have needs. There's no need that precludes you from drafting Chase Young. The first team that doesn't have to pick a quarterback has to pick Chase Young. Those are the rules of this draft. Give me Chase Young to this football team. We'll figure out other ways to address needs.
It's going to go great with new Washington head coach Urban Meyer.
It's a good article you wrote today, by the way. I enjoyed reading that.
You know, we were asked the question yesterday on Draft Dudes, and I was like, no, that won't happen. And the longer I thought about it, I was like, you know what? You know, damn it, there might be something here.
That puppy was like 1,500 words, man. You kept on going with it.
Yeah, I brought the heat. So if you guys didn't catch it, swing over, check it out. My change of heart. Seemingly overnight, literally overnight, on my reaction to the idea of Urban Meyer being the potential head coaching candidate for the Washington Redskins. Number three, Joe, the Miami Dolphins are on the clock. You asked me this weekend, hey, man, what do I do with the Dolphins if they're not picking first? And what did I tell you to do?
You told me to build around Rosen.
Well, I'm going to follow my own damn advice.
Oh, geez.
Judy.
Wow. What are you
with
doing?
The number three pick in the 2020 NFL draft. I understand. I understand the Dolphins right now have a perception to need a quarterback, and the Dolphins have eyes for Tua, but don't take the next guy in line just because you've boxed yourself in. There's a reason why you traded for Josh Rosen to be a quarterback on the Miami Dolphins, and it's in the event that he continues to develop. And I'll be damned, he's played a lot better than the stats would indicate that he has. And Brian Flores says he's liked the progression of Josh so far this season. And with Tua gone, I'm not going to take the next best quarterback just to take a quarterback. I'm going to build and take good football players. That's what this rebuild is all about at its core, is let's add transcendent caliber players. I think Jerry Jeudy's one of those.
All right, I got the number four pick, the New York Jets, who I believe their franchise is Sam Darnold. That is the franchise. You got to protect the franchise. You've got Kelvin Beachum and Brandon Schell as your offensive tackles. Those are both replacement level players that are in contract years. You're going to bring those back? No. You're going to draft Andrew Thomas, the tackle from Georgia, right here at pick number four, and make sure I have a franchise left tackle in place to protect my franchise quarterback and Sam Darnold. This dude can run block as well. Definitely a top five caliber prospect. He's the pick for me. I know they have issues at edge rusher and cornerback, but we're going to go ahead and take care of our quarterback by protecting him with Andrew Thomas.
Joe, lo and behold, the Miami Dolphins are back on the clock. And the Miami Dolphins are a pretty easy team to pick for, because if you can think of a position, they've got a need there. So I'm looking at the board, and I want to go one way. I want to zig, but my heart's telling me to zag here. Ohio State cornerback Jeffrey Okuda fits a desperate need for the Miami Dolphins. Watching Eric Rowe play football in September of this year has been the worst experience of the 2019 Dolphins. You've got Xavien Howard on one side, but I also consider, even though Brian Flores is a defensive-minded head coach, there's some good corners on the free agent market. Byron Jones is set to hit the free agent market. I'm going to pretend in this little fantasy world, Miami's found a corner, and I'm going to take offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs, because the best thing we can do is, if we're going to decide to build around an offense and a certain player, fill your offensive depth chart with as many talented players as possible. Tristan Wirfs, I think, is a really special athlete, really special physical tools. I think he's a good fit for the Miami Dolphins and their offense at number five.
All right, the top five is done. Before we get to the Atlanta Falcons at number six, I want to tell you about our sponsor today, Blue Chew. Now, you can increase your performance and get extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. This isn't for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy. Best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we got a deal for you. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. We thank them for sponsoring the podcast. All right, we're back. It's time for the Atlanta Falcons. I had my mock draft on Monday on thedraftnetwork.com, and Falcons fans were not happy that I gave them linebacker Isaiah Simmons. Can't imagine why you'd be mad about me giving you, one of the most dynamic,
the most
talents,
versatile defender in the 2020 NFL draft.
Yeah, don't know what would be upsetting about that, but I heard you, and I don't want you to get pissed. Not getting Okuda. They're not getting Okuda either. Maybe they should. That's what's going to happen. They're going to Okuda. Yeah. They're going with cornerback Jeffrey Okuda out of Ohio State. I was thinking about a defensive tackle for you, getting you someone to play alongside Grady Jarrett. I thought about A.J. Epinesa to give you some edge rush there. But no, you're going to get a corner. That's what you're getting. Desmond Trufant has been getting more and more shaky as he goes along here, and you got to shore up some things in the pass defense. So we're going Jeffrey Okuda.
Joe, I cannot believe you let the peer pressure talk you out of drafting Isaiah Simmons to the Atlanta Falcons with the sixth pick.
No, I want to give him something different.
It'd be a great fit. And it's even better scenario for me, yep, because that's who I'm going to give the Denver Broncos.
It's a good pick.
Isaiah Simmons. Their back seven, really missing a versatile piece, that kind of chess piece that you could play. It's safety, strong safety. You can play in the nickel. You can play it off ball linebacker. Denver, their inside linebackers right now, Josie Jewell and Todd Davis. I think you could get a very big upgrade with Isaiah Simmons from the Clemson Tigers here. The Broncos are going to jump all over this versatile defender at number seven.
So I've got the Arizona Cardinals at number eight, and every time I do or think about mock drafts for the Arizona Cardinals, I'm able to give them Tristan Wirfs. Well, Kyle going with non-quarterback at three or five for the Dolphins has completely shifted that possibility. And my thought with the Arizona Cardinals, and I love all the Cardinals fans, they shoot me screenshots of their simulations on the mock draft machine, and it's always just slam full of big people, right? Defensive linemen, offensive linemen. I think that's the way to go. I think that's what you have to do to really get this football team to take the next level. I think there's certainly some receivers I can give this football team that would make sense for Kyler Murray, but we've got to go with big people here in this draft. Whew. Which big one do I give them? I'm going to go with AJ Epenesa, the edge rusher from Iowa, right? Look, they run a lot of 3-4. And we're going to give them a guy that can play five tech. He can rush from the interior. I wish I can give them an offensive lineman. I don't feel like there's one worth pick number eight right now. We can focus on that the rest of the way. But I want to make sure I get this team a little bit more stout in the trenches. And the best way to do that here at number eight is Epenesa.
Joe, you're in my shoes right now. I'm the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
They've signed Nick Foles to a big contract. They've got Minshew mania going on down here, but yet Justin Herbert's on the board with the ninth pick. What are you doing here?
Well,
I know what I'm doing, but I know what you're doing.
I gave them CeeDee Lamb in my mock draft, and I'm like, let's go. Let's get some explosive offense going in Jacksonville. CeeDee Lamb and DJ Chark, Jags fans were pissed. They didn't want them. They didn't want them. Brother, I don't know what to tell you. Jags fans and Falcons fans were on my ass all day Monday.
Well, what'd they want then?
That's not about what they want. It's that they didn't want what I gave them.
Well, that's going to make me panic because I was sitting here ready to sign up CeeDee Lamb to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Dude,
double down. Have my back.
You know what? The emergence of Chark be damned. There's no such thing as too many explosive weapons in the passing game. CeeDee Lamb, sign me up. Jacksonville Jaguars at nine.
What a perfect compliment, man, to Chark. Like, that's beautiful.
And then you got all these shifty guys like Didi and Marquise Lee in the slot.
Yeah. They're going to come back and tell you that they wish you would have gave him Grant Delpit or something like that.
I don't care. I don't care.
All right, I've got the New York Giants. This is another fan base that's pissed off at me. I gave them AJ Epenesa in the draft, and they didn't want him. I don't have a linebacker for you. I'm sorry. I don't necessarily here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take the advice, right? You guys need pass rush. You just didn't want Epenesa because you thought he was more of the same. So you want a guy with a little bit more juice, a little more flexibility, some speed off the edge. Yeah, Yetur Gross-Matos, the edge rusher from Penn State. All the tools you could ever want in the toolbox to be a dynamic edge rusher, can stand up a little bit. I think he's got the juice to play in space. So there you go. There's your fit that gets you away from those heavy-handed, you know, penetration-style players on the interior. You got a flexible, bendy, bursty, space-capable, hand-in-the-dirt-capable, versatile edge rusher in Yetur Gross-Matos.
All right, the LA Chargers are on the clock at 11 here, Joe. And this is pretty much the worst-case scenario for the Chargers because their two biggest needs are the interior offensive line and offensive tackle.
And their third biggest need is also the offensive line.
And their fourth biggest need is linebacker. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take advantage of a rare situation here. The Chargers picking this high with the caliber of players that this roster has when healthy should not happen. This defense should never be picking in the top 12. And here they are. And so we've had a very unique situation of picks falling where everyone's presuming the Miami Dolphins first overall pick going to draft a quarterback. Well, the Dolphins didn't get the first overall pick. So the only team that we've really defined as needing a quarterback is the Bengals at one. We have a slide here. I'm going to take Justin Herbert to the Chargers at 11. And I'm really excited about that potential of Herbert in this offense with these pass catchers down the road. Phillip Rivers, you know, bless him. He is a stud. I think he's a future Hall of Famer, but he's 37 years old. He'll turn 38 before the end of the season this year. He's not very mobile. And you have to consider, if you want to extend this winning window as a team, the best way you can do so is to take a pick that's going to extend your window by giving you the best chance to win in the future. And I think at this juncture with where the Chargers roster is and the players that are available, I think Justin Herbert's your best option.
Yeah, I like this pick actually, especially with Anthony Lynn as the head coach. And then based on some of the stuff we've kind of heard about Herbert, I think keeping him on the West Coast might be the best thing for him. You know?
That's a good point.
Good pick. I can get behind that for sure. Tennessee Titans, number 12. Hey, you want to keep winning 7-9 win games a year? Keep rolling with Marcus Mariota as your quarterback. I'm not going to make that decision. I'm going to go with a different direction here. I'm going with Joe Burrow, quarterback from LSU. What I like about Burrow is he's not Mariota. He's a little bit more, I think, in terms of a player that will read defenses, get the ball out quicker, throw with more anticipation, not be such a point-and-shoot guy, not being so hesitant to let it rip from the pocket. You know, Mariota, a lot of play actions required for him to be successful, a lot of situations where he holds onto the ball in the pocket. He's been sacked 22 times this year. Let's get a guy that's going to keep this offense on schedule and you know, have that quicker trigger. I think Burrow is a nice transition for – the type of quarterback that they need to kind of maximize, I think, you know, their weapons with A.J. Brown and Adam Humphries and Corey Davis and good tight ends and, you know, Walker and Smith, and you still have the run game there. I think this is the type of quarterback we need to get out of what I believe they're in is purgatory.
Number 13 pick, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Bless them.
Joe, are you surprised by what this board looks like right now?
No, this is how I felt on Monday when I did this mock for them.
Yeah. I have some options. I'm a little conflicted with some of my options because you think about the Bucs and their draft investments the last 2 years. They've invested a ton of capital in the secondary, right? So yeah. you can say, well, Grant Delpit's the best player available. Let's sign up. You can say, well, you know, Christian Fulton would be a great fit for this defense when you consider they've drafted the likes of Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis. But in the last 2 years alone, they've drafted in the secondary Carlton Davis in the second round, Jamel Dean in the third round, Murphy Bunting in the second round, Mike Edwards at safety in the third round, Jordan Whitehead in the fourth round. I don't think I can get on board versus the prospect of Ndamukong Suh on the defensive line. His status as something of a mercenary these days, right? He comes in, he plays, and then he's out. Then he goes somewhere else, and he plays there, and then he's out. And I see Derek Brown still on the board. And I think Derek Brown gives you a really exciting front between him and Vita Vea. Continuity up front. You've got a budding pass rusher on your roster in Shaq Barrett. Continuing to have guys on the inside who can create penetration. Sue's not actually that much of a penetration player these days. Derek Brown, I think, is much more of that. I think he gives you more disruption up front and can help your defense long term.
I've got the Cleveland Browns here at number 14, a team with a lot of needs here and a lot of players that make sense for them. I think a lot about Grant Delpit, but, man, I can't – it just kind of goes back to what I did with the Jets and – this offensive tackle situation for Cleveland is just something that's not acceptable. It's not, right? They're getting beasted. We saw the 49ers overwhelm this offense. Well, you want to keep seeing that? Well, then keep rolling with this crap offensive line. Not me, not on my watch. We're going with Alex Leatherwood, offensive tackle from Alabama, a guy that kicked over there to left tackle this year after playing guard. He's transitioning very nicely. And we've got to get some help for Baker Mayfield on the perimeter of this offensive line and make sure he has time to make decisions, get the football out. We got to improve this offensive line. We're doing it with Alex Leatherwood.
This is my nightmare as a Dolphins fan. You can't start the offensive line run this early, Junior. I will not allow it.
Well, you know, this this NFL here that we cover is got an offensive line problem. I think I had 7 going in the first round of my mock on Monday. Yeah, so
I believe it. Here's the good news. The team picking next does not need offensive line.
No.
It's the Indianapolis Colts. And the Indianapolis Colts on the clock, looking at some of their primary needs, some more athletes. Bobby Okereke's looking good on the second level for them. Darius Leonard's been a little banged up this year. But a little bit more athleticism on the second level of the defense would make sense. There's questions on whether or not Jacoby Brissett is the long-term answer there. But, Joe, I think this is a team that would really benefit to continue to surround Brissett. You look at the receivers on this roster right now. It's T.Y. Hilton, Paris Campbell, who I've also believe has been a little banged up. And then you're going to be pretty underwhelmed with a lot of the other options that they have in the pass game, with the exception of the tight ends in Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron. So I'm looking at some of the options that we have here, and I would love to get a vertical size guy in this offense. T. Higgins from Clemson. They've already got one Clemson guy in Deion Kane. Let's get a much more dynamic, bigger body into this receiver group to complement T.Y. Hilton. I'm taking T. Higgins at 15.
All right, I got the Carolina Panthers here at number 16. I don't think we can let Grant Delpit go any further, man. I'd love to go corner here. Christian Fulton from LSU I think would be a great pick, and what that would do is, even though I expect James Bradbury to be back, what that would enable them to do is allow Dante Jackson to play more from the slot. You have another outside guy in Fulton. But Delpit is a player that I think would mean a lot to this football team as well, in terms of providing a versatile defensive back that can play anywhere. And, you know, Trey Boston is a player that I thought this defense needed. Well, they only got him on a one-year deal. And we know the NFL seems every year they're just hesitant to commit long-term to Trey Boston. Well, let's go with Grant Delpit, who's got, you know, a really high ceiling in this league. He's got to clean up some tackling stuff. But, I mean, literally, this guy checks every box except for consistency with tackling. And tackling is something we've seen defensive backs get better at, right? It's not like a fatal flaw, a kiss of death. It's like running backs that fumble. We've seen guys fix those issues. And I think that Grant Delpit, considering he emphatically checks his every other box, can do that. I think he would mean a lot next to Eric Reed on this defense, and I think we got to stop the run here. A little bit of a need meets BPA here with this pick for the Carolina Panthers.
Brother, listen, if you weren't going to take Delpit at 16, he was going at 17 to the Dallas Cowboys. So good pickup there. Dallas, I had mentioned a little bit earlier that Byron Jones is an expiring contract for them, and you think about all the guaranteed money that the Dallas Cowboys have signed away in contract extensions so far this season. Joe, Jerry Jones has given more guaranteed money away this summer than what he spent to buy the Cowboys in 1989.
Is that right?
Literally.
That's
yes.
Crazy.
So with that in mind, thinking about Byron Jones's talent, some of the other depth that the Cowboys have at the corner position, some young names like Jadobe Awuzie and Jordan Lewis and Anthony Brown as recent pieces. If we have the opportunity to let Byron Jones walk because we can't pay everybody, and then you've got a chance where you're looking at three of the top four corners on the board for you at 17, I think it makes a ton of sense. And I think Christian Fulton is a really exciting add to step in and be the heir apparent for Byron Jones in this secondary as the big-bodied, dynamic defender. Give me Christian Fulton to the Cowboys at 17.
Good pick there. The first half of the first round is done, and we got a whole lot more to get to here. But first, let me tell you about this. At the end of a hard week, it is great to sit down, take some time off, watch football, game-winning touchdowns, two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing else like the NFL. There's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So do the smart thing. Go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sportsbook. Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on, and MyBookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play. It's where you should, too. Would not be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet football this season, bet with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. No matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit by using our promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, it's time for the Los Angeles Rams picking number 18 right now.
This is the easiest pick yet.
Oh, is it? I mean, this team has a little bit more in the way of needs than I think a lot of people want to admit. Like, corner's a big need for them. Offensive line, right? You can tell this team's missing John Sullivan and Roger Saffold in the big way. Andrew Whitworth, he's kind of like on a year-to-year thing. Big concerns there, right? And they can use some help at edge rusher, right? So I don't know why you think this is such an easy decision, Kyle.
I'm just looking at the board. I'm not going to give you anything, so don't expect me to.
The problem with going offensive line here, well, I could go Beattis. This is the hardest pick yet, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts. I gave them Chase on the edge rusher from LSU.
They probably
in my
hated
mock.
That.
They didn't hate. No, they people said, we like the pick. It's a need, but we also feel like we have other needs. Well, guess what? I only have one freaking pick
for you.
So
does every other team, and the draft is seven rounds long. Like,
we have free agency. It's freaking October, damn it. Oh, this is tough. I am going to go with Trayvon Diggs, cornerback from Alabama. Mm. This corner situation with Peters and Tlaib ain't going that great. And I think they're both up at the end of the year. And they're old. Well, Tlaib's old. And are you going to pay Peters? Guy gets burnt every week. You going to pay that guy big time money? I don't think so. I think you got to start rebuilding that secondary with some corners that can play on the perimeter. And Trayvon Diggs he's an alpha. He's got ball skills. He's experienced. And I think that he'd be a logical pick here. Although I admit I would love to have gone edge rusher as well. I'd love to go offensive tackle. But, you know, the way this draft thing works is you only can pick one player at a time.
I would have given him Beattis. I think they really need to address the interior because it's been bad. It's been very bad so far this season. Number 19, Joe, the Minnesota Vikings are on the clock. What's the Vikings' biggest problem?
Okay, there's a lot.
No, the correct answer is Kirk Cousins is Minnesota's biggest problem.
They're about to get a quarterback?
We are about to get a quarterback. And I think about Minnesota. And the only reason you're going to draft a quarterback is because you don't want to have to lose to Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, who are pretty unhappy with the way things are going. Minnesota gave Kirk Cousins a fully guaranteed deal. So if they can iron things out, they can choose to cut their losses with Kirk and eat the money, or they can redshirt whoever they bring in and play Cousins for another year. They have flexibility, a lot of flexibility. When I'm going to look at what the Vikings need, I'm going to ask myself, who is the most opposite of Kirk Cousins? Because everything that he is, they need the opposite of. Give me Jordan Love from Utah State. I think he's got the physical tools. I think they're going to like his athleticism. I think they're going to like his ability to win off script, in which Kirk Cousins is terrible. I think he's got the arm to really accentuate the talent and the ability of both Thielen and Diggs to run routes to all levels of the field.
And now this coming up here, the Raiders, number 20 overall. I got to go ahead this has a lot to do with the team after this being the Ravens. I got to go with Dylan Moses, linebacker from Alabama. Man, this Raiders linebacking core is slow as crap. I mean, unbelievably slow. It's an Achilles heel for this defense. They need help at edge rusher. They can use some help at corner. I get it. We have another first-round pick coming up here in just a minute, but I think the opportunity to get a linebacker like Dylan Moses, who can be that tone setter with range as your mic, is really something they need desperately. And, you know, he got injured with that ACL before the season. And we have plenty of examples between Jalen Smith and Miles Jack that these guys can bounce back. They both signed very huge contract extensions. And I think, you know, Moses could be ready to go for his rookie year. So I think this is a big need for them. And getting a guy with that type of range is something this defense needs.
Absolute coward move to draft Moses because the Ravens are picking at 21.
Would you not have went Moses at 21?
Probably not.
Oh, well, okay. I think Ravens probably Kenny Young's
a better football player than a lot of people give him credit for.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the board. Ravens do have needs at corner. They're potentially facing the prospect of losing Matt Judon in free agency. Judon has been such a blast to watch, and Kalyvon Chaisson makes a ton of sense on that front, Joe. But
is that the pick? Oh!
But I think about what I just got done talking about with some of these other picks that we've made in Indianapolis with T. Higgins and the Miami Dolphins with Jerry Jeudy and Tristan Wirfs. Surrounding a potential franchise quarterback with the most talent to make him the most successful. The Baltimore Ravens have a need at wide receiver. Their top two receivers are rookies in Hollywood Brown and Miles Boykin. And Hollywood Brown, bless him, he is a stud when he's healthy. The key here is when he's healthy. I'd like a little bit of an insurance policy to make sure I have speed for days. I have the ability to run my offense and make sure if Hollywood Brown's a little banged up, I could still run all the same concepts. So sign me up for Henry Ruggs to play in this speedy Baltimore offense along with Lamar Jackson and Justice Hill and Hollywood Brown. Good luck trying to run with the Baltimore Ravens.
And you're not gonna. That's too much speed to deal with. All right, so I have the Raiders at 22, and we were hoping to pick Henry Ruggs, and we're not going to. But I do think we have to go to the wide receiver well here. And, you know, A.B. Saga definitely left a big need there. I know they just traded for Zay Jones, and they paid big money for Tyrell Williams. But I think we need more. We need more weaponry for Derek Carr and for John Gruden's offense. Let's go with Laviska Shenault, wide receiver from Colorado. I think he's a three-level threat. He's physical. He has speed. And I think he's the type of receiver that doesn't exist already on the roster that can really give them another layer to their offense. So we're okay. We wanted Ruggs, but Shenault's a heck of a consolation prize.
I wouldn't even call him a consolation prize. Philadelphia Eagles on the clock at 23. The Eagles are a team that has done a really nice job kind of checking boxes. They do so with veteran trades like acquiring Jordan Howard, play running back for them, who's had a nice stretch of a couple of weeks, bringing in DeSean Jackson via trade to really fill out their supplementary receivers on their offense. I look defensively at this roster, and I think they really need help at corner. So I have to ask myself what kind of corner best suits the Philadelphia Eagles. And they had some success with Rasul Douglas as a big physical guy. They've had some success with Avante Maddox as a guy who's bounced back and forth between corner and safety, and Sidney Jones, who's played inside at the nickel a little bit. So there's a lot of flexibility here. But I think the pick that gives the Eagles the most continued flexibility to put their players in a position to succeed is Ohio State corner Sean Wade. He's your pick at 23.
You've been doing this the whole time. You're like setting up the table, and then you give us the pick at the end. I was sitting there thinking you're gonna go with somebody else, and then you didn't.
And it makes for good television, doesn't it?
You know, it does, but it makes it very challenging when you're the guy picking next and you don't know who's.
I hate to be in that guy's shoes. I can't imagine. You do.
That's a tough guy to be. All right, Detroit Lions, number 24, the hardest fan base in football to please. There's no question when it comes to mock drafts. So here's the deal. I gave them corner in the mock, got some kickback. They were happy that I gave them like Bryce Hall, but they were like, it's not even our biggest need. All right. I hear you. A lot of those guys wanted help at offensive line. Let me give you help at offensive line. Let's go with Tyler Beatus, the interior offensive lineman from Wisconsin. Definitely could be a dynamic center. He can play guard, so you can figure it out between Ragnow and Beatus. But how about having those two dudes on your interior offensive line? You won't be complaining about much in terms of that anymore. So I think Beatus is definitely a player worth this pick. I think he can have an impact. I don't want to call him Quentin Nelson. I really don't, but I think he can affect an offensive line in a similar way. And think that would be the answer they would need there, an interior offensive line.
I hate you.
I'm sorry.
I want you to know that I hate you.
Yeah, well, what's your consolation prize for the Miami Dolphins here at 25?
Miami Dolphins spent a lot of time this September focusing their eyes and attention to Jadeveon Clowney, who's came from another Bill Belichick disciple defense, kind of plays this role where you move them all around, you give them the opportunity to play stand-up, rush off the edge, drop a little bit in coverage, but it's not really primarily where he's going to win, but you can win him in stunts, line him up inside. Ke'Lavon Chaisson here is cut from the same cloth. He's not as explosive, okay? So let's not make that mistake right off the bat. But the Dolphins were very intent and very interested in adding that hybrid piece to their defense, because that's what makes this defense go and why it's not going right now. They don't have the versatile pieces to be able to play the flexible style of defense for mismatches that they want. I think Ke'Lavon Chaisson solves a lot of those problems in the front seven for the Miami Dolphins.
Buffalo Bills, 26. What's up, Bills Mafia? Man, this is a tough spot. I think the Bills would love to get another receiver. I don't have one that I like for the Bills in this spot. The edge rushers, I think about Julian Aquara from Notre Dame. I can't believe I'm going to do this. But Frank Gore means a lot to this football team right now. And he's carrying the ball 15, 20 times a game. I know Devin Singletary is a nice piece to the running game. I think he's more of a complimentary back. Frank Gore's 36. He's a free agent at the end of the year. And you're going to need to replace him. And TJ Yeldon's not going to replace him. TJ Yeldon's a receiving back. He's not a guy that's really going to pound out tough yards for you. So I am, in the late first round, going to go with a running back for the Bills. I'm going to go with DeAndre Swift, running back from Georgia. Predictively, I think the Bills will absolutely love Swift. I mean, you talk about process guys and guys that just love the grind and stuff. I mean, that's Swift to a T. And I think he gives you a lot of the similar things that Frank Gore can do. He catches the football really nice, and it allows the Bills to have a stable of young backs that they don't have to pay a ton of money towards for the next 4 or 5 years, and allows them to continue to build the rest of the roster up. So I think this is just a unique spot. I don't necessarily love the idea of a first-round running back, but I think the way that this is unfolded, the kind of the context of the way the roster is constructed, I think this makes sense.
I like this pick. I'm going to shift my eyes to the number 27 pick. The Seattle Seahawks are on the clock. And this is a good football team, Joe. I think
they get Jaron Reed back too.
They do get Jaron Reed back, which really helps make this decision even harder, because I would love to give him Javon Kinlaw. But
they'd love to have him.
I also think between Quentin Jefferson and Puna Ford, and a front that's got Jadeveon Clowney and Ziggy Ansah, I know you got to potentially re-sign Clowney, but I don't think it's the most pressing area of the roster. And they just refuse to value the cornerback position because they can get plus play out of any corner. They've got a Big 12 safety from 2 years ago at Oklahoma State starting an outside corner and playing well. Doesn't make any sense. But I look at the offensive line. I look at how often Russell Wilson's under pressure, specifically at right tackle. One of my brand misses, Jermaine Ifedi, first-round pick in the 2016 NFL draft. Seattle's a team that likes athletes. They have their own way of evaluating players. They like explosiveness. And I think TCU offensive tackle Lucas Niang, who plays right tackle already, makes sense for them because of the physical skill set he's going to provide and gives them a long-term option at right tackle whose name is not Jermaine Ifedi.
Yeah, all right, that's a good pick. I've got the New Orleans Saints here at number 28. I know this is somewhat of a quarterback spot for a lot of people, but until I know Drew Brees isn't going to be the quarterback, I want to build this roster to compete and go win championships. And so I think what I would want to do is pick a player that helps me accomplish that. there's a part of me that would love to go with a wide receiver, and I think about a guy like Jalen Reagor here, but I want to go to defense. This defense has been really good this year, but Eli Apple is going to be a free agent after this season, and I'm not sure I want to pay him, you know, the kind of dollars it will take to keep him in the mix, especially when, you know, Marshon Lattimore is going to be a guy that's eligible for an extension after this season. Let's go ahead and get him a compliment. I really love Paulson Adebo, cornerback from Stanford. I think he's versatile. He's physical. He can play in press. He tackles. He has ball skills. And so I want to preserve having a really nice pair of corners for a long time. And I think he would make a lot of sense given, you know, maybe my lack of an appetite to pay Eli Apple after the season.
You're not hungry for Apple.
Hey, you know what? Nah. I'm more of an orange guy, you know?
Okay. Well, the Green Bay Packers are on the clock at 29. And Joe, you'd mentioned maybe getting a wide receiver for Drew Brees. I could tell you right now, I'm getting one for Aaron Rodgers. This defense is infused with a lot of fresh talent. Via free agency, they kind of broke their own trends in bringing in Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, Adrian Amos. They are having a lot of success with these new additions that they've brought in. My big concern is outside of Devontae Adams, what do you have in the pass game? And I think they need a more dynamic player. Jalen Reagor from TCU, little run on TCU guys here, two of the last three picks, gives you a downfield vertical element with speed that I think the Packers just don't have at wide receiver right now. They got a lot of bigger bodied guys in Adams himself, who can do everything. Valdes-Scantling, Geronimo Allison, Alan Lazard made this roster. Alan Lazard probably still runs a slower 40 time than Jimmy Graham does. Let's get a speedster, Jalen Reagor, TCU.
Chiefs are an interesting team here. I'm picking for them at number 30. There's part of me that would love to give them Jonathan Taylor because I think he'd be so fun in that offense. I watched this offensive line recently, and I have a lot of questions about it. And we know that they have a lot of issues in the defensive backfield still, right? Right? Still could use some help at corner. So I'm thinking about those needs, and I got to go with the best player available at a position of need. And for me, that's going to be Bryce Hall, cornerback for Virginia. We need more on the back end here. And part of me just loves the idea of pairing him up with Juan Thornhill. Man, that was so great when Virginia ran cover two and it was Hall and Thornhill to one side of the field, man. They made some – Jesus, man. It was beautiful. I want to get that going again for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think Paul can win in a lot of different ways at corner, a lot of different techniques. He's physical and has good ball skills. So I don't love the offensive line value here. I think Taylor's more of a, you know, an X factor. Like if some other things were fixed on the roster, I could get behind it. I got to get this pass defense right.
So Bryce Hall's the pick.
Bryce Hall's the pick, okay. Cornerback UVA.
Okay. Here's my dilemma for San Francisco. They're picking 31st in this projection right now, hat tip to the San Francisco 49ers. But Joe, they don't need a center. They could use an upgrade on the interior offensive line at the guard positions, but do you think Creed Humphrey can play center or can play anything other than center?
Or Weston Richburg can play guard. I don't have concerns about either one of those things.
So you think either one of them would be fine at guard?
Yeah. Especially zone blocking, man. It'd be my pick and I wouldn't think twice about it.
I'm just considering all my options here because I'm a little bit more apprehensive than you are about playing Creed at anything other than center. And I'd like to keep Weston where he's at because I think he's the only plus starter on the interior between Lakin Tomlinson and Mike Person on each side of him. San Francisco does have listed needs at corner with Richard Sherman, who looks good this year, except for the fact that he's lying about Baker Mayfield not shaking his hand.
Yeah, what the hell was that? Weird. What the hell was that?
And there's like, everybody was like, nah, here's the video before the game, and there's the handshake.
That's terrible. Like, that's so stupid, man.
Bad look. I actually think Richard apologized for it. But why even get to that point? You know, it's not necessary. San Francisco does have Jaquiski Tartt and Jimmy Ward as guys who are versatile defenders on the back end. I could pick Xavier McKinney for an extended piece here to really flesh that out as they make personnel decisions. But I think I just have to take the best player at a position of need. So I will go ahead and settle on, despite trying to talk myself out of it, Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma, I think here gives them the option to pick the best five on the offensive line and let those guys play.
The other offensive lineman that found a way into my mock draft was Jeldrick Wills out of Alabama. Plays right tackle for him. I think he can kick inside the guard if you wanted to do that. So another name for the range here. If there's a team in the back five or 10 picks that you're thinking offensive line, that's another name to consider. All right. New England Patriots, 32. I hate that more than anything in the world. I feel like I've been getting a lot of the old quarterbacks, and I keep on saying, like, I'd love to think about the replacement, but until I know they're not going to be around, I want to keep building the team around them so I can maximize that window. And the Patriots are the type of team that can reach for need. And I think this team does have some holes that it could plug at edge rusher and offensive tackle, but tight ends have been really meaningful to Tom Brady throughout the course of his career. And my goodness, they have nothing for him. I mean, literally nothing for him.
They just cut Watson.
Ben Watson. Yeah. It's like Ryan Izzo and like Matt LaCoste. Like, what? I got to get a tight end for Brady. We're going to go with Bryson Hopkins, tight end for Purdue. Best pass catching tight end in this class. And I just feel like that's where we have to go to round out this offense and continue to give Tom as much opportunity as he can to win.
Joe, we missed our target by 10 minutes.
Yeah, I knew it would happen.
We kind of figured. A quick rundown. I'm going to read 1 through 16. Joe's going to read 17 through 32. Hope you didn't all close right. Your tab, Joe. Here we go.
I got
Cincinnati Bengals, Tua Tagovailoa. Washington Redskins, Chase Young. Miami Dolphins, Jerry Jeudy. New York Jets, Andrew Thomas. Miami Dolphins, Tristan Wirfs. Atlanta Falcons, Jeffrey Okuda. Denver Broncos, Isaiah Simmons. Arizona Cardinals, A.J. Epinesa. Jacksonville Jaguars, CeeDee Lamb. New York Giants, Yetur Gross-Matos. L.A. Chargers, Justin Herbert. Tennessee Titans, Joe Burrow. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Derek Brown. Cleveland Browns, Alex Leatherwood. Indianapolis Colts, T. Higgins. Carolina Panthers, Grant Delpit.
Dallas Cowboys, Christian Fulton. Los Angeles Rams, Trayvon Diggs. Minnesota Vikings, Jordan Love. Oakland Raiders, Dylan Moses. Baltimore Ravens, Henry Ruggs III. Oakland Raiders, Laviska Shenault. Philadelphia Eagles, Sean Wade. Detroit Lions, Tyler Biadasz. Miami Dolphins, Kalyvon Chason. Buffalo Bills, DeAndre Swift. Seattle Seahawks, Lucas Niang. New Orleans Saints, Paulson Adebo. Green Bay Packers, Jalen Reagor. Kansas City Chiefs, Bryce Hall. San Francisco 49ers, Creed Humphrey. And New England Patriots, Bryson Hopkins.
That's a wrap for us. Please send all of your hate tweets for odd picks to @grindingthetape. All of your hate tweets for even picks to @TheJoeMarino. Thanks as always for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow to talk college football top 25 picks against the spread.